This week's guest was recently named the 2024 Business Leader of the Year by Business New Hampshire Magazine and the New Hampshire Association of Chamber of Commerce Executives. Meet Marcus Weeks, president of Meredith Village Savings Bank. I'm Matt Mowry, co-publisher and executive editor of Business New Hampshire Magazine and Granite Media Group.
And I'm Christine Kerrigan, co-publisher of Business NH Magazine and chief creative officer for Granite Media Group. And welcome to BizCast NH.
So Christine, in thinking about our guest today and the award he's won, it got me thinking about, you know, what does constitute great leadership? Because I feel like, you know, I've had this distinct pleasure for the past 24 years, you know, of meeting a variety of leaders in our state, and we are really rich in leadership talent. Mm-hmm. And what really goes into making a great leader?
Yeah, that's the $1,000 question, isn't it?
Yeah, because I'm trying to learn so that I can be a good one at our work.
Absolutely.
So, you know, what in your own past experiences and the people you've met, what kind of jumps out for you?
Yeah, so I think for me, and I'm gonna take a line from Steve Reno, who is the current Leadership New Hampshire Executive Director. It's talking about, you know, being informed and engaged. Mm-hmm. And I think that really is important because it's hard to lead if you don't know what's going on. That's more globally thinking, you know, having a broad understanding of issues and things that are going on that helps you obviously be a good leader. I think in your own organizations, it's really listening to your people. And I think a major thing I find is trying to not get in their way. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? It's you want to be able to guide the team, but then get out of the way so they can do what they're experts at.
Right. It's trusting.
Exactly.
You know, you have, if you went about and hired the right people, then you need to trust them to do their job. Mm-hmm. And if you feel the need to micromanage them, then you need to figure out why. Like, did you make a mistake in your hiring? Or is the problem you?
Right.
Like, do you need to take a step back and take the hands off the reins and go, no, let them go. And, you know, be okay that sometimes mistakes will be made. You know, it's just mitigating those and making sure that you and the person in the organization are learning from them and moving on from them.
And I think it's also making sure that you're looking back at yourself too. If you're seeing a roadblock or you're running into an issue with you know, somebody on your staff or whatever, it's looking back at yourself and saying, okay, is there something that I could be doing that would help to improve this situation? Yeah. Or, you know, like, am I causing a roadblock? And how can we get through that?
I think, you know, the leaders that I think are really inspirational and get it right, and I've met quite a few of them over the years, you know, and Howard Brodsky comes to mind.
Yeah.
You know, I'm on they've won Best Companies to Work For many times. And when I'm on the tours that we do to, you know, and we do interviews with the focus group and the employer, I mean, it's like the employees drank the Kool-Aid when it came to Howard. It's almost cultish, but I understand why. I mean, I don't mean that.
No, I know what you're saying.
But they're so engaged and they're so appreciative of him. And it's that first hour he spends in his day. He's very genuine. And he says it's the best hour he spends, the most effective. He goes around and he's got like 100 employees.
Yeah.
And he goes around and says good morning to everyone. But it's not just like a flyby, you know?
No, he talks to them about their lives. He remembers if there's things going on.
He's asking questions.
Exactly.
And they're always like, he's got so many things going on. And yet he remembers that, you know, my daughter Susie had a recital once, to know how it went. I thought that is just such a genuine interaction. And what he gets out of that in return is his employees feel safe mm-hmm. to come to him when there are issues and problems. And so he has the pulse of his organization without it getting to a crisis point.
And that engagement shows the employees too that he sees them as full people.
Yes.
It's not just you're here to do your job and then whatever, you know, you go home and whatever. He's invested in them. And I think that's something that all good leaders, they're invested in their teams as full people.
That's something you hear a lot more about when you're talking to leaders, is taking that holistic approach to the person. They're not just the person that's in front of you for 8 hours that day.
Right.
They have another life outside of your office. And how does that influence both? Mm-hmm. How is work influencing the home life? How is home life influencing work, and making sure all of that works together?
Right. Yeah. So I think we can talk to somebody else today about their leadership roles.
Exactly. Our business leader of the year, who yes. I'm sure has more than a few insights into this.
Absolutely. So let's get into it. Marcus Weeks is the president of Meredith Village Savings Bank, or MVSB, a community-focused mutual savings bank that has been serving the essential banking needs of people, businesses, nonprofits, and municipalities in New Hampshire for 155 years. Today, the bank has 13 offices in 12 New Hampshire communities, and they will be expanding to two new communities, Exeter and North Conway, later this year. Marcus was born and raised in the Lakes region and has worked for MVSB since the start of his career as a student teller in high school. He rose the ranks at the company, serving as mortgage loan officer, business development officer, branch and business development manager, and senior vice president retail banking officer before being promoted to president in October of 2022. This experience has given him a unique and broad perspective of MVSB and the important role mutual banks play in the communities they serve. Marcus is passionate about being involved and has been an active volunteer for numerous nonprofits throughout his career. He currently serves on the board for the Lakes Region Visiting Nurse Association, Boys and Girls Clubs of Central and Northern New Hampshire, Geneva Point Center and Spalding Academy, and Family Services. He also serves on the Legislative Affairs Committee with New Hampshire Bankers Association. Marcus, welcome to the podcast.
Christine and Matt, I appreciate you having me. It's a
thrill
to be here.
Thank you for joining us.
Absolutely. Well, first of all, congratulations on being the 2024 Business Leader of the Year. It is a well-deserved accolade. Our judges were so impressed with everything you've done with both the bank and your give back to the community. We're going to delve into all that. But first, I think I'd like to continue the conversation that Christine and I were having and hear from you about what does leadership mean to you, and what is your leadership style at MVSB?
Yeah, I appreciate that. So I think Christine nailed it. We're a people business. Banking is a people business, as are most industries today. And I think that we work intentionally to lean really hard into the experience of our employees, because if you create a great experience for your employees, they're in turn going to give a great experience for the customers, and ultimately that's going to lead to the success of the business. And so engaging with our employees in a way that really makes them feel valued, helps them understand that it is their business as much as it is any of ours, and that every single one of us has a role to play in our success, and helping them to see and understand how their participation and their direct role, their specific role, leads to that success, I think is an important part of leadership.
I want to go back a bit to the very beginning of all of this. You've had a unique and great career in that your career has been Meredith Village Savings Bank. And so let's start with the fact that you are born and raised in the Lakes region. Talk about when you first came in contact with the bank and how this has become where you wanted to be.
Sure. So I guess first coming into contact with the bank, I was a customer before I ever worked at the bank. I'm from Moultonboro. That's where I was born and raised, and my parents still live in the house I was raised in. And as a student at Moultonboro Academy, we're really fortunate that we had access to a number of good business courses. We had a chapter of Future Business Leaders of America. And I knew from an early age that I wanted to be in the business realm. I was not cut out to be in the trades. It was not, you know, how I'm wired.
Yep.
And so I had no idea what that was going to look like. But fortunately, Moultonboro Academy had something called the School to Work program. Excuse me. You want me to start that over? So Moulton Burgh Academy had a program called School to Work. It was run by the guidance department. And it was a program where the school would go out and partner with local employers and create sometimes paid, sometimes unpaid internships for students to get out into an industry of interest so they could explore it before committing resources and a lot of time after high school into it. And Meredith Village Savings Bank had a program and a partnership with Moulton Burgh Academy. And I was hired as a student teller. And it kind of clicked right off the bat. I don't think anybody wakes up when they're 10 years old and they're asked what they want to do when they grow up and they say, I want to be a banker. Those of us that make good careers out of it find our way to it almost by happenstance, but fall in love with it. Fall in love with the impact that we can have on our communities. Fall in love with the work-life balance that can offer us. I eventually figured out that this is where I wanted to live and raise a family. There was a short moment in time where I had, ambitions of Wall Street or Boston, and I ended up going to college outside of Boston and realized pretty early in the first semester that that was going to be a temporary stop. Getting back to New Hampshire was important to me. And so to be able to live and work in the most beautiful place in the world for an organization that has real meaning at its core, has a positive impact on the communities that we serve, and fulfilling meaningful work. It's great.
And there's so much discourse in our state about, so many young people leaving the state, and how do we retain and attract this next generation, especially in a state where the cost of living is so high? And so one of the ways is to obviously, businesses connecting with schools and exposing kids to the jobs that are here and the opportunities. What was it about that program you went through? Because, I mean, talk about a program that worked. You not only stayed with this organization, you rose up through the ranks, you're running the joint now. What was it about that experience? How did they structure it in such a way that engaged you in that way?
Yeah, and the interesting thing is it's a program that is successful beyond me as one example. There are a number of employees who started in that program that are still with our company today at the vice president level, in all facets, different business units. And I think the thing that was most engaging was the sense of community and family that exists within our culture. To know that we exist so we're a mutual bank. And state statute basically says that we exist for the benefit of our customers and the communities that we serve. And when that's in your DNA from your foundation a century and a half ago and continues to pervade your culture today, it's infectious.
So can you explain a little further how a mutual bank differs from, say, a traditional bank? Or I'm not sure what the other term would be. But
sure. Mutuality is a somewhat difficult concept and governance structure to really understand because it's so unlike how most businesses are stood up. Most businesses are created for really good reasons. There's a profit motive. And somebody or some group of people think that if they see a vacuum and can create a product or service that fills that vacuum, they will ultimately be rewarded financially for that investment of resources. Mutuality, so Meredith Village Savings Bank was founded in 1869 by the owner of a local factory at what is now Mill Falls Marketplace in Meredith. They built musical instruments. And he looked around his community and said, there are banks here, but they are not serving my employees. My employees don't have access to the tools that will secure a financial future for themselves. And so he had a choice to make. He could have filled that void in a number of ways, including capitalizing a stock bank, expecting a return on that investment. But instead, he donated his capital, founded Meredith Village Savings Bank, served as its first president, and hired a team of professional bankers to guide this organization. And we've passed it from generation of leadership to generation of leadership for 150 years, really prioritizing the needs of our communities. What we like to say about mutuality is it gives us the privilege and the luxury of long-term thinking. We never have to make a decision. What does the quarterly earnings report look like? What's it going to look like at the end of this year? Our question is, what's it going to look like 5 years from now, 10 years from now, 100 years from now? We're stewards of a community asset.
So with that community aspect to your business, can you talk a little bit about some of the initiatives that you've done to give back to the community?
Sure. So we try to give of our talent and treasure. We have a budget every year for community donation sponsorships. We really believe in empowering our workforce, and we serve 12 communities, all of whom have different needs and different priorities. And so we give budgets to our individual branch managers and our lenders who work in those communities to decide where our resources will deliver the most value for the people who need them. We also have a fund, so once a year we have an opportunity to accept grant applications from organizations with really fun and innovative projects that we are really fortunate to award resources to. The bank also does a really good job both instilling early on in people's careers and then supporting the efforts throughout their career, the idea of giving of your time. The bank encourages and supports us taking time to get out and be on boards, to do on-the-ground volunteerism. We make it often different teams will come together and coalesce around specific community initiatives where the bank will adopt an area of interest. And so it's great team building in addition to really benefiting the community that they're trying to serve.
And we'll be right back. Join Business NH Magazine in partnership with the New Hampshire Association of Chamber of Commerce Executives at the Business of the Year Awards Luncheon on May 23rd at the DoubleTree by Hilton in downtown Manchester. This prestigious Business Awards Luncheon will honor the 2024 Business Leader of the Year, Nonprofit Leader of the Year, Businesses of the Year, and Nonprofit of the Year. Network and celebrate excellence in business and leadership in the community with New Hampshire business executives and their teams. More information and tickets are available at businessnhmagazine.com/events. Sponsored by the New Hampshire Charitable Foundation, Bank of New Hampshire, Anthem Blue Cross Blue Shield of New Hampshire, Eversource, Northeast Delta Dental, and McLean Middleton. And we're back with Marcus Weeks, president of Meredith Village Savings Bank.
Marcus, we were just talking about the bank's institutional giving back to the community. But also going back to our conversation about leadership, leadership is also about leading by example. And it was very evident in reading your bio. I mean, you have been passionate about giving back to this community, the Lakes region that you love and have grown up in. It's commendable that the bank does give its employees opportunities to do that. You obviously took full advantage of that. Can you talk about what drives your own personal giving in terms of your time? And what are the causes that you're passionate about?
Sure. I'd say that's evolved over time. I had examples of parents who were very civically minded. They were very involved in their church, and there was a lot of time behind the scenes trying to make that organization better and stronger. And so from that example, I was able to expound upon that and expand on that into a number of nonprofit direct volunteerisms early in my career. As a community banker, there's an expectation that you give back, give of yourself, and oftentimes that results in board service. I would say early in my career, I selected organizations based on a relationship I had with somebody else who was already in the organization. There wasn't a lot of rhyme or reason to it. I got involved very early in my career in Habitat for Humanities, which, you know, with the benefit of hindsight, was great because housing and access to safe, affordable, and stable housing has become such a problem in our state. I think that that is an organization that has a very unique approach to solving that problem. But as I have matured in my career and in my life, my areas of interest have certainly evolved. I got married, we have a son, And so a lot of my volunteerism now is around organizations that try to provide resources for families. It is really, it's a challenging environment to raise and support a family. And organizations like the Boys and Girls Club, organizations like Spalding that support families with childcare, with education. We're involved in healthcare services in a couple of the organizations I'm involved in. And all of those things take a little bit of pressure off families that are trying to cope with really challenging macroeconomic environments.
As your career has developed with the bank was also growing, and you played some critical roles in that growth. Can you talk about what growth at MVSB has looked like and the role that you played in that?
Sure. So I started with MVSB. It's interesting. We were looking at some old annual reports recently that we found in a box somewhere. And part of each of those reports is a balance sheet. So I started with Meredith Village Savings Bank when the bank was less than $200 million in assets, and we were just opening our fifth branch. And in the last 28 years, we're now a $1.6 billion bank with 13 branches, soon to be 15 branches. And growth is necessary. And in our business, scale is a requirement. The cost of doing business continue to increase every single day. And so scale is important. But scale is a vanity exercise. It's not something that I or we are interested in. It's got to be the right growth for the right reason. Going into markets and communities where we're a really good fit for them and they're a really good fit for us. And so we continue to do very well in smaller communities where our resources can have a real impact and the value of our contributions can be rewarded by customers choosing us because they want to partner with somebody who cares about where they live.
And you played a role in opening some of the latest branches. Can you talk about what those branches are and what does it take as a bank moves into a community like that and you're setting up the first physical manifestation of the bank? What does it take to integrate into a community?
Ideally, it takes hiring people who already are part of that community. If you can hire people who have either work or living history in those communities, that goes a long way because every community has a different set of values and things that are important to them. And so you really want to align with their values and what is important. Mutuality, I'm going to keep going back to it because it is such a competitive differentiator within our industry. So we go into a new community and we bring with us the full complement of business lines. You have to have patience to open a bank branch today because it is not going to be covering its own costs in the first year or 2 years or sometimes even 3 years. But over time, you build a critical mass and you add customers day after day after day, and then that branch makes the whole organization stronger, but you've got to get there. And so a lot of banks make the choice to go into a community with the skinniest staff they can offer and then support some of those specialized business lines from away. And we make the decision that if we're going to be in a community, we're going to bring to bear all of the resources of Meredith Village Savings Bank, which is a bigger upfront investment, but has proven to be a really successful business strategy because our growth in those new communities has been, it has exceeded our expectations almost universally.
So we like to talk about both sides of the coin here, the good and the bad. Can you talk a little bit as a leader, what one of the maybe most difficult challenges you've faced with the bank and what you've done to work your way through that, to overcome that challenge?
Sure. So I would say one of the biggest personal challenges I've had is I started at the bank when I was 16 years old, and you're a different person at 16 than the profession you're going to be at 25 or 45. And I think that everybody is 19 at some point in their life, but not everyone is at the same place that they worked when they were 19. And so, that institutional memory of the kid having to then step into a variety of leader or getting to step into a variety of leadership roles, you have to intentionally demonstrate that process of maturation. And so that's been a personal challenge that I have a lot of gratitude that the organization has shown me so much grace, and the number of people who I worked for and then worked alongside have embraced me in my current role. I have not felt the need to overcome that memory of this was a peer, what's he doing in leading the company. The people, all of the staff at the bank have been incredibly generous with giving me the opportunity to succeed.
I want to return a bit to the growth question because it's such a competitive banking market in New Hampshire. We've seen not only our local banks like Meredith Village Savings Bank succeeding and growing, but we've been seeing banks coming in from Maine and Massachusetts and Vermont and seeing New Hampshire as a prime opportunity for their own growth. Can you talk a bit about first how the footprint, the physical geographical footprint of Meredith Village Savings Bank has changed and grown, how many employees you have, and how have you been able to grow that market share and compete in such a competitive marketplace?
Sure. So our footprint historically has been around Lake Winnipesaukee. We completely circle the lake and we have a strong presence up through Ashland into the Plymouth market. And then probably in 2015 and 16, we were trying to read the tea leaves. I say we. I was not in the leadership roles at that point in time. But organizationally, the collective we were trying to understand the demographic challenges that that central New Hampshire was going to face and whether or not we were going to have access to the customers and the economic growth that we were going to need to ensure this organization is around in perpetuity. And so we made the decision at that point in time to expand down towards the seacoast because that's where there was economic and population growth. 2020 hit and a lot has changed for central New Hampshire. The Lakes region of New Hampshire is an incredibly compelling place to be with the advent or the ability for people to work wherever they want. And so what was a community that was aging very, very quickly is now flush with young professionals working in high income professional jobs. And that's driving economic growth in our market. And so I would say we continue to pursue the seacoast as a primary growth opportunity for us, but we see more growth opportunity than I would have projected back in our home turf.
And banking has evolved so much. I mean, technology, of course, transforms all industries, but it has had a monumental change on banking. And even there's conventional wisdom goes, well, doesn't everyone bank digitally now? Why even have branches? Can you talk about how technology has been transforming the industry, how Meredith Village Savings Bank has been changing as a result in the investments it's making? And how has that evolved the concept of what a branch means to the bank and to its customers?
That's a terrific question. So I get asked the question about branching as a strategy often. They are expensive buildings to put up. We want to be in prime real estate. And so they are competitive by that very nature. They're expensive pieces of real estate to build on. We're of the mindset that if you want to ask a community to trust you with their resources, having access to you is a necessity. I think the way we staff those branches and the technology we deploy to those branches changes their function quite a lot. Transactions have moved online. So the person, you know, very few people get a paper paycheck anymore. The direct deposit owns the market. We have people doing transfers online. They're not coming in to move money between their own accounts anymore. When they are coming in, it is either for problem resolution or for consultative advice. They want somebody, they want their neighbor, they want somebody who they see in the grocery store to be available to them, to help them make important life decisions and know that that we have their best interests in mind. And so the role of the bank, they're never going to be as busy as they were in 1995 when I started with the bank. The transaction counts are down significantly, and they continue to trend down every year. But the number of interactions that we have where a customer is coming in and saying, "Help me figure this out," those go up every single day. We talk about a community bank we get to differentiate based on exceptional customer service and high touch. We get to differentiate based on being a resource for the communities that we serve and investing back into those communities. But that you only get to differentiate on those areas when you've already met the expectations or exceeded the expectations of your customers from a technology perspective. So we continue to invest heavily in providing a great online, digital, and mobile experience. We are an early adopter of FedNow. FedNow is the first in 40 years new payment rail being stood up by the Federal Reserve Bank. And Meredith Village Savings Bank was one of the first, I believe, 100, but it might have been 150 banks in our country to launch and to deploy it. That's going to provide a competitive solution controlled by the financial services industry and regulated by the regulators of the financial services industry that will compete with the likes of a Venmo, where customers are going to have the ability to move money 24/7, 365 instantaneously. And so you need to continue to evolve your business and invest in technology while never losing sight of what made you successful to begin with.
So we like to dive a little bit into the person behind the position. So you're a lifelong resident of the Lakes Region, minus those college years. what is your favorite part about being in the Lakes Region?
I mean, it's a beautiful place to live. The people are phenomenal. It is unbelievable to me the talent that lives in our communities that nobody would expect. The number of people who relocate or retire to the Lakes Region. Some of the people I serve on boards with could be on Fortune 500 boards. They have been leaders in New York City and Boston and Chicago, and they choose the Lakes Region of New Hampshire because there is no more beautiful place on the planet. The sense of community coupled with the natural resources, it's just a wonderful place to be.
We've seen a lot of people since the pandemic have been flocking to more rural places and looking for quality of life, looking for natural beauty. And so, you know, the Lakes Region has seen a lot of influx of new folks. Can you talk about what are some of the challenges the Lakes Region is undergoing as that evolution occurs? And what role is the bank going to play in addressing them?
Yeah, I see the biggest challenge facing the Lakes Region is access to safe, affordable, and stable housing. It is very expensive to live in the Lakes Region. We have not done a good job over the last 15 years of building new housing stock. And so I think that if we're going to attract the workforce that we need to support the people who have the privilege of living in the Lakes Region, we're going to need to make it something that can be achieved by your average family on average incomes. And at this point in time, that's a stretch. The role the bank is going to play is we're going to continue to be a thought leader in the space. We're going to work with customers who are developing and building real estate. We're going to continue to talk to local municipalities and governance organizations about the importance of really thinking hard about zoning. Zoning, to me, is a fundamental challenge when it comes to creating affordable housing. And so we need to get people to really think about what does housing stock of the future look like and how can we integrate a different kind of housing into our communities that are going to preserve what we love about being here, but make it affordable to people. And the number of people who I grew up with who can no longer afford to live in the Lakes Region it's a sad commentary. And I think we can do better.
Well, we look forward to seeing where the bank is going to go and how your leadership continues to influence the Lakes Region. Congratulations again on being the 2024 Business Leader of the Year.
Yes, Marcus, thank you for joining us. Once again, Marcus Weeks is the president of Meredith Village Savings Bank and the 2024 Business Leader of the Year. Thank you.
Well, thank you both for having me.
Thank you for joining us today. If you enjoyed the stories and information you heard on today's podcast, find more by subscribing to Business NH Magazine or visiting businessnhmagazine.com. I'm Matt Mowry.
And I'm Christine Kerrigan. BizCast NH is a production of Granite Media Group.